consider here today. Think about this one. Have you ever made a promise you did not keep? Don't have to raise your hand. My guess is maybe all of us at some point have made some kind of promise that we didn't keep. But maybe a little deeper, have you ever pledged loyalty to someone only to wilt under the pressure of your peers? Where the pressure around you made you give in because other people weren't in the same lane that you were in? Have you ever had your confidence ripped from you because you had a really, really bad experience? And finally, have you ever felt like you've done something so bad that you could never be forgiven? If your answer was yes to any one of those questions, and we could have asked more, then we can all get right in line behind Peter. Right? We know Peter, don't we? Peter in the Bible, Simon Peter. We know Peter because he was brash, he was strong, he was outspoken. I mean, he did not know how to keep his mouth shut sometimes. Peter, his nickname meant the rock. And you would think with some nickname like that, that he would be someone you could really depend on, someone that you could really lean on. He was a rock. He was one of the earliest disciples of Jesus. When Jesus said, "Come, follow me," Peter was in that early group that left everything behind, left the business behind, left the nets behind, left the fishing behind, and followed Jesus. Peter was the one who really went out on a limb and really said it out loud because none of the others were quite ready to say it, thinking about and talking about Jesus, that Jesus really is the Messiah, the Christ of God. Peter was one of the three disciples that got to go up on a mountainside with Jesus, and there on that mountainside, God came down, and in that setting, there was also Moses and Elijah, and Peter saw the very glory of God in the person of Jesus. Peter. It was Peter who also was warned when he claimed that no matter what happened, he was going to be true to Jesus. He is willing to go to prison. He was even willing to go to death, he said. No matter what. But Jesus said, no. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't he? It's like what Pastor Kayla was sharing in her own life. He had that reveal to you what the sin was that had to be dealt with and what is going on in our lives. He's the one that has to open it up and reveal it to us. True? Amen? Well, we want to look at this story, and it's found in Luke chapter 22, verse 54. And I want to just consider it for a few moments here today. And so if you want to follow along, it's Luke 22, 54. Then seizing him, they led him, and that's Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. Just put yourself in that setting. It's late at night. There's a fire going. It's like sitting out by, you know, maybe you have an outdoor fire pit and just sitting around and no other lights. But in the firelight, this servant girl, it says she looked closely at him. That's a little unnerving too, isn't it? Looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You're also one of them." "Man, I'm not," Peter replied. And then about an hour later, another said or asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. And Luke has this line in there. He's the only one of the Gospels that has this in there. "The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter." Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him, that before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Most all of us know this story, don't we? The denial of Peter. Peter's denial of Jesus. But I want us to notice a few things about it. And the first thing is just notice that it does say about Peter that he followed at a distance. But he was still following. Okay? None of the other disciples are named, right? Nobody else is listed as following at that point. But at least Peter is. And notice as well that Peter goes into a very, very uncomfortable place for a disciple of Jesus. I mean, they just took Jesus off to the high priest's home, and it's there in the courtyard of this home that Peter goes in. So he's in kind of enemy territory at that point and is at least willing to follow that far. So far, so good, right? I mean, he made the promise, "I'll follow you anywhere. I'll go to prison with you. I'll go to death with you. I'll be there." And so he's following, though maybe at a distance, but he's following. My guess is, though, in that courtyard, he's not saying a whole lot. He's been brash and he's been outspoken before, but this is not the time nor the place to be brash and outspoken. But then it starts, doesn't it? The accusations. First, it's a servant girl who looks really close. I mean, the servant girl looking really close. It can be unnerving to have someone get too close, can it? You want me to get away? Yeah. It's not many churches that have teens that sit on the front seat. I hope they will next week.
Only because you moved her back.
Oh, okay. But she looked really close and made him really uncomfortable. And she says, "This man, he's with him." And everybody knew who she was talking about. This man's been with Jesus. He's in his group. He's in the Jesus group. And Peter immediately responds, "Woman, I don't know him." I mean, just totally, I have nothing to do with him. I mean, but everybody has to be wondering, well, what are you doing here then at this time of night? Well, things are starting to get a little more uncomfortable for him. And again, sometime later, another says, "You're also one of him." And again, he denies it. "Man, I am not. I have nothing to do with him. That's not me." And I think Peter by that point thought, well, maybe I'm okay. Because it says it's an hour later. So for an hour, he thinks he's off the hook. For an hour, he thinks that everything's cool. He's going to make it. Excuse me. But then, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." So he must have said something or been noticed in some way as being a little bit different. Whether it was through speech or the way he dressed or whatever, but someone noticed, this guy, he doesn't really belong here. He's with Jesus, the Galilean, the Nazarene. He's with him. And again, Peter reacts in verse 60, "Man, I don't know at all what you're talking about." And then it happens, right? The rooster crows. But isn't it interesting, as Luke describes it, that Peter doesn't really recognize what really has just happened because the rooster crows? Notice what Luke tells us, that right after the rooster crows, that Jesus turned, and so he must have been in eyesight, and looked right at him. That can be disconcerting, can't it? I mean, what's it like when you mess up and you do it in front of someone and they look at you in a certain way? And so here's Peter, who has just now fulfilled what Jesus said was going to happen. And it says that he was so devastated that he went out and he wept bitterly. Just imagine Peter sobbing, the rock, weeping. I want to just throw out some thoughts to us here today, some things that I hope will help us all, because we do all need help when it comes to following Jesus. We all need God's help to stay true to him. Amen. The first thought I want to leave with this is this: we are never as strong as we think we are. True? Sometimes we might feel like we can handle anything, but the truth is we're never as strong as we think we are. The reality is, if we think we're strong and we're confident and we can do it, we'll stay true, that's probably when we're the most vulnerable. Amen? When we think we're strong and we can make it, that's when maybe the highest levels of danger are there. We are never as strong as we think we are. Because as you know and I know, we are only strong when we're dependent upon him. Our strength is found in him, not in us. We don't have the strength to be able to defeat all the temptations and all the pressures, all the things that come our way. We need him. True? So we're not as strong as we think we are. The second thought I want to highlight here is that one denial or one cover-up often leads to another. And isn't that true? I mean, it was bad enough that he denied him once. But then the pressure continues, and then there's a second, and the pressure continues, and then there's a third. And isn't that just how even sin works? One sin, and try to cover it up. There's nothing here, nothing to notice. But then another, and there's more cover-up, and then another, and there's more cover-up. That's the tendency of how things work, isn't it? We try to cover up what we've done wrong in some kind of way, and we can't. I mean, that's how it happened for Adam and Eve, the very first sin, wasn't it? They kept blaming someone else for what had happened and trying to cover it all up. No problem here. The third thought I want to leave with this is this, that the look of Jesus is what brought Peter to self-awareness. It wasn't the rooster crowing so much that made Peter aware of his failure as much as it was the look of Jesus. Now, how many of us here today know about looks? All right, parents and kids, any looks that you know? Carlin, not you. Oh, do you give the look? Oh. We know what it's like. People have looks, and especially parents and kids. You give a certain look, and they know exactly what is going on. You don't even have to say words, right? Just a look. Or how about between spouses? Does she have a look? he or he might look at the other and it's, oh, I think I might be in trouble right now. And it might even be, you know the look, if you have a close friend, that there's a certain way that they look and, you know, we got problems. Well, as I was thinking about this story and the fact that Jesus literally turned and looked at Peter when the rooster had crowed, knowing what had happened, I don't believe or I don't think that it was a look of, I told you so, even though he had told him so. I don't know that it exactly was that look. It could have been, but I'd like to suggest that maybe it's something else, because I don't know that the look was to condemn Peter. I think the look was the purpose of helping him to know that there's a way out of this, that there's a way back. That is more a look of compassionate love mixed with conviction. Does that make sense? That the look wasn't to just put Peter even further down after his failure, but that the look was to have Peter face himself in an honest way, but know that there's hope. Now, I don't know all of that, and the scriptures don't really go into detail regarding that, but I think we've all experienced the look of Jesus at some point, haven't we? And we feel guilt, and we feel sorrow, and we might even go to the point that Peter did of going out and weeping bitterly because we messed up big time. But here's the thing with Jesus, that what he does when he does convict us of sin, it's never in order to keep us in that state. It's never to keep us down, that what he does is always to lift us up and help us to get back and to get better. John's gospel is really the gospel that describes how Jesus kind of did that, as they were on a beach in Galilee, and Jesus kind of says, Peter, let's take a walk. Do you love me? Oh, yeah, I love you. Do you love me? And three times. Maybe a reason for three times after three denials, right? But the point was that Jesus wanted to restore him, not destroy him. And I hope we all know that here today. Jesus never wants to destroy us if we've messed up. That we do that to ourselves. He wants to restore us. He wants to bring us back. And that brings me to the final point that I want to mention today, and that is this, that Peter, and for us as well, that failure is neither final nor fatal if we turn to God. Aren't you glad for that? Because God can bring us back. God does offer forgiveness. There is a way back because of what Jesus did and how he loves us and cares for us. Never believe the lie of Satan that would think that I'm too far gone, I've done too much, I've been too bad, because none of that is true. There's a way back, because that's why, in fact, Jesus went to the cross. If we're alive and we're breathing at all, there's a way to get back. That failure does not have to be final nor fatal. Forgiveness is offered. We can be set free from the guilt of that sin. Even the denial of Jesus that Peter committed, that he said he never would. God had a way back for him. The reason we can know that is that in the book of Acts, you see, the Gospel of Luke was written by the Dr. Luke, and then Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and it's interesting that Peter's in that first part of Acts, isn't he? And God uses him on the day of Pentecost to be the primary spokesperson for the grace of God and the message of God to a world. And we see how God used this man who failed miserably to make a difference. As the song that Pastor Kayla and the team led us in, God can take the brokenness and the mess up and somehow beautify it and make us useful and give us purpose and meaning, a way back that also has purpose to be able to help others. Aren't you glad for that? The Lord can use the broken. The Lord can use those who have failed. The Lord can work in incredible ways for those, through those who think that they're of no use at all. God has a way. It's Peter's story. And the reality is, it's all of our story. There's none of us that don't need the grace of God in our lives. There's none of us that don't need God's help to stay strong when we're facing situations and facing pressures and temptations to give in on some particular way. God's grace available to us. Today, in just a few moments, we're going to be sharing communion together. But before we do that, I want to have you see a video of a young man that didn't think that there was any hope for him, but there was.
My name is Dylan Robinson. I grew up really rough as a kid. Not type of fighting where mom and dad are basically arguing and kind of make up at the end of the night. It was fighting like physical abuse, drug abuse, you name it. I was exposed to it. And so I thought that was pretty normal, pretty customary. But as I got a little bit older, towards fifth grade, I realized that my life was a little bit different. So by the time I was 16, I was in a very dark place. Man, I was just so frustrated, and drugs are taking over my life. I got an assault charge when I was 16. And however, there was about two friends that weren't coming to my parties anymore, and I was throwing parties every weekend. And I remember asking them, I'm like, man, where have you guys been? And they said, John and Selena, and I didn't know what that meant. And they said, you need to come and talk to John and Selena. I remember at that point, I pointed at them and said, man, that God stuff, that Jesus stuff isn't for me. All I had been exposed to was abuse, and never knew there was a God who loved me, didn't know that I had a purpose. I was sitting at a basketball game one night, and I asked my